A reading from the fourth book of Moses, commonly called Numbers. In those days, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forgive our sins, O Lord, lest the nations say, "Where is their God?" Help us, O God of our salvation. For the glory of your name, deliver us.
A reading from the Epistle of Blessed Paul the Apostle to the Church in Rome. Brethren, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Alleluia. You, O God, sit on the throne, judging in righteousness. Be a refuge for the oppressed in times of trouble. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples, saying, "Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." And he spoke a parable to them. "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be
of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Sin is selfish. Men seldom sin to the advantage of others. Sin is the result of a self-consumed mindset. Jealousy and lust, anger and hate, all put self first to the exclusion of others. So it is that Facebook is full of dream vacations, new jobs, incredible weight loss, new cars, second homes, marathons finished, and extravagant purchases. You see, that is how fallen men desire others to see them. That is how they see themselves. Fallen man is curved in on himself. He is egocentric. And that egocentrism is blinding. Fallen men consider what they think and want and feel to be normal, indeed more, even normative. And the differences in others they see as flaws. And the true flaws in others, sinful pride magnifies. And therein lies your blindness. Minimizing your own sinfulness and magnifying the sins of others, you fail to see clearly. The apostle explains it this way. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. Today our Lord's words teach you to look at yourself differently, honestly, in the reflection of the mirror of God's holy law. Our Lord commands, be merciful, judge not, condemn not, forgive and give. They are all directives on how you are to relate to others. You know what mercy is, for you have desired mercy from others. Criminals plead mercy when they are sentenced. What they mean is that they desire the judge to be lenient in their penalty, hoping that they may just be set free. And that is what you have desired from others that you have wronged or harmed. You desire that they minimize your transgressions, overlook them. But truth be told, that isn't true mercy. For by it, the transgression is never removed. The same is true for judging. You have desired that others put the best construction on your words and actions, but at the same time, you have imagined sinful motives to lie behind the acts of others. Consider the political divisions that tear our country apart and the things that you yourself have said about the other side. You haven't been merciful. Indeed, you have been judgmental. And there are those that you have condemned, writing them off in your mind as unredeemable, or worse, not worthy of your compassion. So our Lord's command that you forgive, this you have failed to keep. For every sinner catalogs the transgressions of those around him to make himself seem more pious in his own eyes. And that, O fallen man, is what our Lord calls the plank. The plank that is in your eye. That is the egocentric blindness that is self-imposed by being curved in on yourself. And that plank prevents you from seeing others aright. Looking inward, you are blind to others. Your own sinfulness prevents you from showing true mercy or true compassion or true forgiveness. And it is only in that way that the speck in your brother's eye can be removed. So blind, you quickly fall into the ditch, that place of great spiritual harm that is self-inflicted. And were it not for true mercy, God's mercy, that ditch would be eternal condemnation. But what you could not do for others, Christ does for you. Be merciful. Judge not, condemn not, forgive, give. They all describe Christ. He was merciful to lepers and harlots and thieves. He was merciful even to those who showed him no mercy. He did not judge. but he suffered humiliation and death to be judged in your place. He did not condemn, rather being sinless, being without transgression, he allowed himself to be condemned for you. He gave freely. He gave his all. He gave his life that you be spared. And therein lies true forgiveness, for it is Christ alone that brings forgiveness. Even of those who put him to death, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." And as your advocate with the Father, that is what he prays for you. That is what he won for you, giving himself, truly unselfish, and in consuming concern not for himself, but for others. He shed his blood that you be forgiven. He is the source of love and forgiveness. And that love he shows you on the cross, the fountain source of your forgiveness. Believing in him, that is yours. Believing in him, you show that forgiveness to others because that is what faith does. In Christ, you see the value of others, of family, friend, co-worker, neighbor, even your enemies, in the price that God paid to redeem their souls. For they too are redeemed by the blood of Christ. He died for them. He died for all men and for the sins of the world. The gibbet of his cross is the plank that removes the plank from your eye. Forgiven in Christ, baptized into holiness and righteousness, filled with the Spirit of the living God, you are no longer curved in on yourself because faith cannot be egocentric. Faith is Christocentric. It finds its center in Christ. And faith finds its expression in extending the love that God has shown you to those around you. Faith forgives those who trespass against you as you daily pray God would forgive you. So in Christ, we see others clearly. We are not blind to their shortcomings or their failures, but you see those shortcomings and failures first in yourself, and you know that they are covered by Christ. And so you see that same propitiation, that blessed expiation, as covering the sins of those around you. So in Christ, you do not condemn, you bless. In Christ, you do not judge, you explain everything in the kindest way. And that pleases God. That is a good work, but you do not thereby earn salvation. Good works are the consequence, the fruit of your salvation. So the apostle writes that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. For the day comes, pray God it comes soon, when you will be relieved of your flesh and you will be transformed. So St. Paul writes, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we shall know just as we are known. In Christ, heaven is open to you, open now by promise, open soon by sight. But that sight, the sight of faith, is not impeded by plank or speck. For seeing Christ, believing in Christ, you see clearly. So you who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown within yourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of your body, and until that day, the Christ who gave himself for you gives his body to you as your heavenly meal. He pours his shed blood into the chalice and across your lips and fills you. He bids you partake of the heavenly bounty of good measure, the Holy Eucharist, the measure of Christ measured back to you, delivering you from the bondage of corruption and into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For the Lord has put his name on you, and he will bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.